morning, and welcome to the Sailor and a Sex Worker podcast.
With your hosts, Jack Dean and Whitney Blues.
You don't know my real name, so the only rules are don't say the name of this town or inn. You can say San Diego, though.
Okay.
And then just don't use my real name, but I don't think you know it, so.
No, Whitney.
Yeah, so we'll go with that. That's it, definitely. Oops, sorry, I just stepped on
me. Wait a minute, you don't know her real name?
She doesn't know it, yeah.
Oh, where'd you guys meet?
Through Michelle.
At the Teddy Ball.
Yeah.
At the what?
The teddy bear ball.
The fuck is that?
It's that charity event
where you bring a teddy bear and basically we kind of went to like check out people.
It's kind of like a social networking event where like, I guess they invite influencers mostly.
I mean, anyone, everyone who was anybody came and everyone got so dressed up and some of the girls got like ridiculously dressed up.
Oh yeah, like they had like their hair and makeup done.
Yes.
Oh, I saw people pulling up in fancy like Bentleys and shit.
What? Bentleys?
Oh yeah.
I have to admit, I was actually really stressed about the dress thing because
why?
All my dresses are kind of like more sexy and
slutty. Yeah.
Like, so I didn't have like an elegant, nice dress. So I stressed about it like all week. And I'm also the type where like I'm not gonna go spend like I'm not cheap, but like I'm not gonna spend like $200, $400, $500 on a dumb dress. I'm never gonna wear this black gown again.
I wore that dress I had bought for a wedding like 5 years ago.
And then I just went in my closet and I go, oh, this will work. And it worked. And I literally ordered like 30 different things on Amazon. Went to Nordy's. Like, I don't ever go buy fancy shit.
Did you send it all back?
Yes. What? And I wore that. And then I show up and all these girls are in slutty ass dresses. I'm like, are you?
It was like the whole parade. It was
Which
so
is great,
awesome.
But I was upset because I was like, hey, I have a million of those at home.
I want to go to the whole parade next year.
There's one coming up. They're doing the bunny ball.
It's what the fuck's a bunny ball?
It's the same concept where you bring a stuffed bunny instead of a stuffed bear. It's the same thing.
My question is, I'm all for charity, but how many stuffed bunnies do we need to help people? Like, can we just give, is it children? Can we just give them money?
Not only that, but they pile all the stuffed animals up into a giant mound and then all the influencers jump into their photo moment. Like, you do this, like, you know, what is it? A boomerang, you know?
Yeah, where they jump in, it looks like.
And I was like, these stuffed animals.
That.
Okay, I did that. But I dropped like two or three edibles in that pile by accident. My fucking whole purse exploded
in there.
Well,
you brought edibles to the fucking bunny parade? Children's hospital. Let's get
no children. No children were involved.
It's for adults.
But the question is,
and it was mushrooms.
Do we even know what this teddy ball is about? They're just giving kids teddy bears, and I understand that. But like, is it sick children? Don't they need money? Like,
I don't know.
I don't understand. How is that going to help?
I was randomly invited to that, and
it was a very big event.
Yes. Well, there are. So there was the whole. When you walked in, there was that line of like auctionables. They had the silent auction going on.
Okay,
so they were clearly raising money, but like it wasn't clear where that money is going.
Was there anyone famous there?
It's like local celebrities, yeah.
Oh, really?
I was there, Jack.
Yeah, duh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Numero uno right here.
My fucking
bad. This is all who I need to show up.
The mayor was there, I think.
The mayor?
Like, the mayor.
Mayor.
I don't even know.
Wow.
Who the fucking mayor is right now.
Well, I'm not from here, so I have an excuse.
Well, me either. But I've lived here for 17 years.
Oh, yeah. You don't have an excuse.
Well, where are you originally from?
Me? I'm from Northern California.
Okay.
Not San Francisco. A lot more inland. It's like country for like California. It's a lot more developed now. But when I grew up, it was literally like, there's only one grocery store and one gas station.
Hey, you're from the sticks, huh?
So it's the Delta area.
And then you came, when did you come down here?
Then I moved to Austin, Texas.
Okay.
You look like a Texas girl.
I love Texas. I did not want to move here. My story is very colorful. I have two ex-husbands, so...
Dang.
Two?
I don't even think my followers know this.
Really? No. You have a shitload of followers, too.
Yeah, well, like, as you can tell, I just spill everything. Like, I don't care.
She does.
I
can appreciate that.
I am very open. I don't care. Like, everyone, you know, kind of has self-conscious of certain things. But, like, I'm like, you know, I just don't give a shit. Like, this is what... But I did not share what's happened to me in the past year. And a lot has fucking happened to me.
So... You were recently.
Why am I opening up this can of worms?
This is getting good, dude.
I already love it.
I've been getting DMs like, what's going on? Because they see my stories. They're like, this girl's going through something.
I know you moved. Is that because you were moving out of a situation?
Well, I don't like to say first and second husband. Okay, my baby daddy, which is my first husband. I don't have to say names. Father of my children. I have three children. I have three boys.
Wait, you have three fucking kids?
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah. Dang.
Girl, no, you do not.
Yeah, I do.
She's a trainer.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Kick
I got
ass
three track. Boys, two teenagers, and so 12, 15, 12, and 10.
Dang.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That'll it's easy it. Now. It was crazy when they're little. Okay, so ADHD. Let's go back. Okay, so I was moved to Austin, Texas with my first husband, which is husband the father of my children. Mm-hmm. I was with them for 7 years.
Husband number one.
Yes. We divorced in Austin.
Bummer.
He's going to kill me if he ever hears this because it's very private. And then we moved to San Diego for my new relationship.
Okay, so is he still in Austin?
No, he moved with us.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Take the whole
good
family.
Good man. That's a good man.
Oh, that's green flag.
It gets better.
Okay.
Okay. So next up, I move here. I didn't ask for, you know, marriage or anything. And the guy doesn't want to get married. I leave a full-on, amazing, booming personal training career that I absolutely love. I miss Austin so much.
Oh, is this where you got the followers? In Austin?
And here.
I mean, I was impressed. Whatever. Who cares
about
that shit?
But I had an in-person training business. I mean, it was awesome. The whole community supported me. I loved my job. I really worked hard for that. I had three children. I made my own business. So I started from scratch, came to San Diego for this relationship. Then COVID happened.
Oh.
So then I went online, which is fine, but I personally love the in-person training.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I think
I don't typically watch, I wouldn't work out online. Like, that's not my thing.
It's cool. It's just like the whole reason why I do it. I know it sounds cheesy, but I actually fucking love helping people.
Yeah.
Like, I love being
a
therapist.
Doesn't sound cheesy.
I love being a therapist. I'm very like empathetic. Don't use it against me. Okay.
they're coming for you.
It didn't work out. We were together for 5 years, long distance for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
I ignored every red flag possible. Mm-hmm. I will learn from my mistakes this time, I promise. So it didn't work out. That's what happened this year. I got divorced. We were only married 9 months, together 5 years. I'm going to say it, though, because I really like have been holding it in, but he's a fucking narcissist. I know everyone says that, but like...
That's tough.
Gaslight, manipulation. Yeah. Like, so to my, you know, like I did see the red flags, but... You know,
but with narcissistic behavior, they tend to, you know, show the flags, but then show like really green ones
love
after. It's hard. It's confusing, and you can't really
go read up on narcissists. Ugh. Okay,
what is he like? Did he have a good dick then, or something? Or is that why you stuck with it?
No, narcissist. Do you know what narcissism is? Like how it works? Okay. Well, it's like
they manipulate people.
Right.
They treat everyone like an object. They only want you for what you can give them.
Yeah.
So basically, he liked me for like my looks and like. What I can give them intimately.
Blowjobs. Just kidding.
And me, because of my past trauma and things in my past, which we don't have to get into that. I really craved to have a real love. And he gave me that and pulled away. So it was like, I want to be with you. And he would just so into me and then pull it away.
That back and
I don't
forth.
Want commitment.
So is he like cheating on you too or what?
As far as I know, no.
Typically, it's not about that. It's more of like the give it all and then take it back and then give it all and take it back.
Oh, yeah. It was just a one day on the verge of me about to get a hysterectomy. He was just like, I'm kind of thinking about divorce.
Oh, my God.
And I wasn't in a good spot mentally because I had anxiety, panic attacks, stomach issues. I never knew what was causing it. It was fucking him.
It's stress.
I don't have any of it. It all fucking went away. Like literally overnight.
He packed his bags and took your anxiety with him.
I'm not blaming everything on him. I know everything happens in a relationship, but like, holy shit.
I think that's great for you.
5 years I was with him the whole time. I had stomach issues. I didn't even understand what anxiety was. When he threw out the fucking, I'm thinking about divorce.
You're like just in.
I was like full blown panic attacks because then I felt like my life for the millionth time was just like this.
Is on the edge again.
Yeah. So
I just got my divorce and I feel great.
Different, Jack.
No, I feel wonderful now.
Yeah, give it up. Did you feel wonderful that moment? Because I remember the day you came over and you were not feeling wonderful.
Well, yeah, of course not. It took me like a couple months, but then after that, I feel great now. I mean,
But then you realize now you're happy. You were unhappy, correct?
I am very happy being by myself.
Yeah.
And doing whatever the hell I want to do.
It's kind of nice.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like, I can just wake up. If I want to go and have a drink, I can go have a drink.
So it's really fun explaining to guys. I've been married twice and I just turned 40 and I have three children.
You're like, I'm a cat.
I don't give a fuck. If you don't like that, then I'm not for you. But
I feel like especially now, well, marriage has changed so much, I think, in recent years. Like, people don't really view it as this like sacred thing anymore.
No.
It's like,
no, fucking more than divorce.
Right. Everyone gets divorced. Everyone has a past. And I feel like some people kind of jump into things. So it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't think twice if I met a guy who was like, oh, I was, or a woman that I was trying to date and they were like, I've been divorced twice. I probably wouldn't be that freaked out about it. Like,
nah.
I don't know. I don't think it would really bother me.
And when I say it and they are, and the guys are like, oh, I'm like, if you're not coming in it with curiosity, like, do you not understand that I took my vows seriously?
Right.
Whether or not I ignored the red flags, I shouldn't have got married. Like, I was serious and I was wanting it. He's the one that ended it. Like, why am I faulted for the piece of shit that ended it?
You're 40. Like, I don't know what, if someone met.
You don't look 40.
If I meet someone who's 40 and they're like, I've never been married, never had kids myself.
Oh, I'm not that great.
I'm one of those people.
I'm
like,
sorry.
I've never been married and never had kids and I'm going to be 40. And that's probably like kind bragging. Of weird.
Like, they like act like they're bragging. No kids. Yeah. Never married. I'm like, oh.
If anyone asked me, I'd be like, listen, both my siblings died. So I had all this trauma. So I didn't really want to get into serious relationships for a long time because I was grieving and just dealing with my shit. And had that not happened, maybe I would have had those things. I don't know. But it's like, there's something. Everyone says like, why not? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, I can tell you exactly what happened. Like, I have the answer. It's right here.
I don't know, man.
Well, I guess maybe then I'm the asshole because I'm saying people judge me about the second divorce and I'm sitting here judging people.
But it goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know.
So you feel like a hypocrite kind of
absolutely.
Sometimes.
Absolutely.
I just checked her without checking
absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's because I'm a little scorned by him because he didn't have children and it was always a battle. It was like, oh, I don't know if I can live with children. I'm like, well, why are you dating me? And then it was, I don't know if I want you to move. I'm like, what?
What, and with him?
Yeah.
Your husband?
And I'm not ready for you to move. And then I don't want to get married.
I don't know. A girl with kids, I think, is a strong woman, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I find it attractive. Yeah, I really do.
I
mean, you know you're not going to be the pride. You know you're not going to be like number one to them. You know, they have to look over their sons or daughters. But I would try to fit in at least.
Well, the way
and try to get good with the kids, you know?
You have to.
And then, but you have to play like the secondary dad. Like, all right, listen, I can't really yell at him. Or yell at the children.
I think it depends what you set boundaries with the parent. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's the boundaries
with the
parent.
You get to jump in at like the fun time where they have personality drama when they're babies and it's chaos.
Yeah, see,
yeah, but I think like the teenagers, that would be like quite difficult.
I'm not going to live again. I have two teenagers and so far it's not too bad.
Oh, Jesus. How are their socks doing? You find them crusted yet?
Okay, they
might not.
Yeah, dude, it's coming.
To be honest,
it's coming.
I am the mom that talks very openly and freely about all of the things, especially masturbation, because I think if you have three boys, I don't care what you think. I think you should make sure that they understand that it is normal. Everyone does it and it's okay because I don't want them having sex early. So why wouldn't I? I'm not like
encourage them to
jerk
off.
This. I'm just like, hey, buddy, like it's your personal time. It is perfectly okay. Don't feel bad about yourself.
That's huge. I think that in my family, we really didn't talk about
their
masturbation.
Voice.
Like it wasn't, I remember getting like a really kind of pathetic birds and the bees talk.
I got nothing.
And I have older brothers. My two brothers were like a year, 2 years older than me. So like I found out about masturbation kind of through a neighbor, this girl across the street, whatever. I was doing it. And I remember this deep feeling of shame associated
of course.
With it. Like
especially
I was like,
for women,
I'm not supposed to be doing this. And I felt like so secretive about it and went to all these extremes to try to cover it up that I was doing it. And like, I don't know. I look back and I'm like, if someone had just told me like, oh, it's normal and natural, I probably wouldn't have been so fixated on it and maybe not spent like 2 whole years of my life masturbating and tired. That's all I did.
I don't know, man. Like when I first did it, I used shampoo and it burned and my dad was screaming at me through the door. He's like, what's going on in there? And I was like, nothing, dad.
And your dick's on fire.
Dude, on fire.
I think it's maybe the era, because we're somewhat the same age, that parents like just didn't talk about it. And it was very shameful.
100%. Because my parents are the best. They're awesome people. But like, they really dropped the ball on the sex talks with us.
I never got one.
I got like two different ones, right? I got my mom's version when she found my condoms. And she told me that my girlfriend was not allowed to hang out with me in my room anymore. They had to be like surrounded by us. And then I got my dad's version, which he walked in on me one time. And the girl was like still in her bra, and I was like, oh shit. And he goes, oh snap. And then he left and he went up street to the neighbor's house. And then he calls me on my cell phone. Okay. He's like, come up, come on, let's go. Come over here. I gotta talk to you. I went over there and he handed me a beer.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
My parents, basically,
I was like, all right, dude, dope.
They skipped it all, and then it went right from that to me being like telling my mom, I was like, I needed like a pap smear or something, or more birth control. And it just went from that to my mom like paying for my friend's abortions. Like, we skipped right over, and then it was like
my mom never talked about it, but she was like, yeah, you can be on birth control to regulate your parents. Like, well, you know, her way of trying to do
it's
it.
It's kind of different too, like with like the daughters and sons. Like my mother, I remember when my sisters, you know, started getting active, she would buy them birth control and not tell my father.
Right.
But for me, she would yell at me if she found certain like condoms and all that stuff. I get yelled at, and my dad be like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Well, hell yeah.
I mean, why get mad at your son for using protection?
Right.
Well, saving, I don't know, because no, that was kids, the firstborn. No,
I'm so open with my children, and my ex-husband's very, very private, doesn't like it. And I think it's so important, because I want to have that relationship with my kid. Yeah. I want them to come to me if they're thinking about trying drugs or wanting to have sex. Like, I don't want all holds barred. Like, just freaking talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't have that. And I think it's important.
You need that nurturing mother. But then at the same time,
in our house.
I mean, silly story, but kind of crazy. Like, I, even as a 22-year-old, didn't know that you could still have children if you didn't have a period. I didn't know that.
Oh,
as a 22-year-old, I got pregnant with my first son when I was 24, I didn't have a period, and I was 5.5 months pregnant. I didn't know it.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
You know those like stories where people are like, I had a baby and I didn't know it. Like,
yeah.
You were 5 months half pregnant and you didn't know it?
Yeah, I look like I had a burrito. Like, I've been fit.
So did you were like, well, what's going on here? Or,
what happened
should
was
I take a test?
How did you find out?
I went on a road trip. I was living in Vegas, of course.
Ooh.
By myself. Bartending, go dancing,
fun,
that kind of thing. I went on a road trip, my feet just swelled up, and then I called the doc, and they're like, could you be pregnant? I'm like, no, I don't have a period. And they're like, so it then all clicked, and it just happened.
I mean, it's one of those things, they just don't educate women, right? I didn't even know that there's a like kind of a window in which you can get pregnant. Like, you have your ovulation days, mm-hmm. and there's a certain window where you're
2-3 days.
Yeah. And I didn't know that my whole life. And I was like, why didn't I?
Wait a minute,
know
were you
that?
On birth control during the time that that's why you didn't have a period? Like, you didn't know your period was there for 5 months?
Yes.
No, I rarely had a period ever my whole life. Like, if I did, it was very light. Like,
sometimes women who are extremely fit won't have one. Yeah, I think that typically, have you noticed that?
Yeah, I
don't get one at all.
My whole life I was pretty thin, and then I worked out. And
And you
luckily
just
I was sober. I was 2 years sober, so the baby was fine. My son Jackson's amazing. So
do you mind if I ask about your sobriety? You were mentioning today that you're how many years sober are you?
18 fucking years, April.
Wow. That's, congratulations.
I don't even remember. It's on my side, but
it says April 27, 2000, and I guess 6 or 7, yeah. 2006.
Nice.
Wait, it's 27th, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I always forget.
So were you an alcoholic prior to that, or was
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I was an angel in high school. I did nothing. Mm-hmm. I always had a boyfriend. No, seriously.
I'm kidding. Okay.
I had A's and B's. Like, it was only like 2 or 3 years of fucking chaos.
And it was that much that you just decided for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It was
fall down, blackout, drunk, bruises all over me. Don't remember a thing every single night, because I didn't party in high school. I partied afterwards.
So you kind of went at it hard in those years.
And of course, everyone looks at you, oh, you're having fun. You're 20. You're 21. That's what you do. Everyone gets drunk and wasted. But it was, to me, another level.
That's so interesting, like, that you could see that about yourself, because I'm pretty sure I was also at that level at that age, but I certainly wasn't like, I need to quit drinking. I was like, I need an IV.
Yeah.
Let's do this again.
Hey, doc, shoot me up real quick. IV real quick right
they
now.
They didn't have that.
Hair of the dog. Just take another shot.
Yeah.
I would wake up drunk.
Yeah.
Luckily, I never drank and drove, but I would let my friends drink and drive like a fucking asshole. My friend got a DUI once. We went to jail and we went to Santa Rita. It was a like actual jail. And I was so wasted. They had to put me in the drunk tank by myself.
Oh, dang.
Oh, you guys are
learning.
This
sounds
everything.
Like pretty fun, dude.
Yeah.
I love it.
And
I,
yeah, but this is 18 years ago.
I want to meet Miss 18-year-old Ashley.
21. I know. When I tell people now, they're like, you're not that crazy. I'm like, oh.
If only.
And then when they get to know me, they're like, I can't imagine a drug.
I got, I don't like to use the word crazy, because when we met at this party, you know, at this ball, and I was like, I want you on the podcast. I was like, you are the one. Your energy was through the roof. You were like the hype man of the whole place. And I was like, are you not drinking? And you're like, no, I don't drink.
I get off on the fact that people think I'm fucking drunk.
It was,
like,
I literally
start acting crazier and people start looking. I'm like, oh my God,
I was pretty drunk that night. And I also had eaten quite a bit of mushrooms. Woo-hoo. Yeah, that was
sounds like a party to me.
I'm
dude.
Very curious. This is flowing very nicely. Like, I'm very
sorry, I'm so glad you approved.
I'm very curious. Don't want to try it. I'm sober. Like, everyone does microdosing of mushrooms. Well, I always thought it was like an acid thing. Like, it's super crazy. What does it feel like?
So, if you
explain
eat a lot
me.
Of mushrooms,
I want to feel it like you do.
If you eat a lot of mushrooms, then yeah, of course, like if you eat more than a gram, you know, a gram to 4 or 5 grams, you're going to like possibly have hallucinations, see things differently and feel very different. But if you microdose where you're taking like 0.25 of a gram, so just like 250 milligrams, it's not going to affect your vision. It's not going to affect the way your body feels. But if you do suffer from anxiety like I do, or kind of like intrusive thoughts.
Anxiety.
Hello, I'm the anxiety Yay. Queen. It just kind of alleviates that. Jack doesn't
take the edge
them,
off.
I don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Sorry. I do not do drugs.
He doesn't. Jack's in the military. But so it takes the edge off. And for me, like, I don't take any prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And with all my PTSD and stuff that I deal with.
I have complex PTSD also.
It very much helps me.
Like,
I just do these microdoses. It's all natural. It's mushrooms.
Oh, really?
I love it.
I mean, I have to take mine. I take Gabapentin, Lexapro and all that stuff.
Right. I don't PTSD. Do any of. I've never taken any of that.
Yeah. I have to take a bunch of shit. Trazodone.
And I don't want to, though.
Because yeah,
I see my parents with their fucking pill bottles every day. And I'm just like, God, you guys are taking like 20 things.
I
like,
take ADHD medication.
You take Adderall.
Well.
I do, too. But I buy that off a drug dealer.
I'm like this when I'm not on it. Guaranteed. Absolutely.
Adderall
like,
actually kind of chills me out.
I usually take Vyvanse, but it's been out of stock.
Okay.
Everyone's finding out everything about me. So I take Adderall now.
She's doing dances. I thought you flashed your tits for a second.
Oh, no.
Out of the corner of my eye, the elbows.
I mean, I'm sharing everything, but not those.
No. We'll do that later. Just kidding.
Wait, what?
No, I'm kidding.
But please notice
she is wearing
toes.
I was actually going to say that you, if you ever stop being a trainer, that you would be a great foot model.
And you do foot stuff,
because you have really beautiful toes. Yeah.
Really?
They look
toes?
Like fingers.
They're gorgeous.
I'm not like a toe person. I don't really look at girls' toes.
Watch this.
Show. Oh, I can do that.
Oh, wow.
She can clap them like
I
hands.
I have flat feet.
I do, too.
They're like skis. They're not cute, girl.
No,
you're
they
very
are.
Sweet, but they're not.
I feel like mine are really similar, and guys love that long, narrow
really?
Look.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like fingers.
Yeah, this is the look they like.
What okay. the fuck?
I don't, you know, well, I don't
do
know
you,
it. You
do.
Do
you know why?
Why?
Well, I have, this
why?
Is actually,
why,
here's
Whitney?
An interesting
Tell
thing.
Me why.
I did not realize getting into foot fetish that what men want is the bottom of the feet. It's not the top. So from the top, yeah, they look kind of weird. Mind you, too. They look like fingers. But from the bottom, the soles of our feet are like, they're gorgeous. And you get this, the toes aren't like all crammed up to the sole. Hmm. You get a little space in between them and they're very elegant looking. And the guys that jerk off to our feet typically are looking at the wrinkles on the soles
that.
Of your feet.
Everyone I like a, just like a nice butt, dude. That's about it.
I should have
your butt dude.
Pill. I'm a butt dude. Wow. I like butts.
I don't have one of those.
And he doesn't.
And the thing that goes between the legs that you can put stuff in.
It's a vagina, Jack. You
oh,
can say it.
I like that.
I've been told I have muscles on my butt that no one's ever seen before.
Well,
now I'm curious about that.
I watched you walk in the room and actually was like, damn, how does it look like that?
I mean, I could show you off camera
yeah, off
later
camera.
On. When I bend over, it looks like almost, oh my God, I keep on saying
what
like
does it
handles.
Oh, I mean, you compete
It's just
though.
A muscle.
You like actual handles?
Yeah.
The way that, what are those called?
Love handles?
I want to call them traps, but they're
it's
like on your leg.
It's gluteus medius. It's the side of my butt.
Your yeah. side of your, oh, okay. So you do a lot of like lower strength workouts?
I do a lot of booty.
A lot of booty, yeah. A lot of women do that at the gym.
But you compete in bodybuilding.
Yes, I just did a show, but I don't like normally do it all the time.
Okay.
I like food, so.
Does it, when you're competing, well, don't most, you eat more?
Most girls eat less. I ate way more.
I think you need
day
to
of the show, like, I was eating 5,000 calories.
Yeah.
5,000 fucking calories?
And candy and like
that's
donuts.
That's like my everyday.
Holy smokes.
But my, but going into the show is like 3,000 plus. But most girls are like 1,200 and doing 2 hours of cardio a day.
Oh, wow.
So they have to lean down.
Because they want to lean down and look all ripped.
But I was lean coming in because I stay pretty lean because I don't know. And so I needed to kind of fill out a little bit because of the category I was in.
Okay. How did you do?
I did four categories. I did second place in 40 and up.
Okay.
The masters, what they call us, the old ladies, were the most fit. They were amazing.
Of course.
Then I did second in 40 and 35 I did third, and then novice, which is new, I did four, and open is everybody. I didn't get anything, so
okay.
I didn't give a fuck. I did it for myself. I turned 40 and had my second divorce. I was like, YOLO.
I'm gonna do a body.
I'm gonna get some good pictures.
You know what? Honestly, I commend that because if I was there, I know that I would be like, I'm gonna go buy prostitutes in Mexico. Excuse me. Like, I tend to act like
I just wanted
asshole.
Something to focus
no. Who would
on?
Ever do that?
Yeah.
Don't ever buy prostitutes in Mexico after you get divorced. Who does that? I would never, ever, ever.
It's illegal.
Do that.
Yeah, Jack's never
not in
done
Mexico,
that.
I guess.
Never done that. Absolutely not.
I don't
not.
Even know if it's legal or
I
not
have
there,
no idea.
To be honest. But have I done it? Yeah. I don't know if it's legal.
What?
Like paid for sex in Mexico from my massage guys.
Oh, yeah. The massage
guys. They're all. I mean, they're typically fucking around with whatever. We're not going to get on gay.
I mean, we could.
I get massages in Puerto Vallarta where it's like predominantly.
I just had a massage today.
It's a gay community down
there.
Very
clean massage.
So the guys that do the massages like give hand jobs, but like they're not all gay. They're just gay for pay. And they will fuck me for the same amount of money.
Like fuck you? Not
well,
like play with you.
Okay. So, the first day it's a play with. But by like day six of me getting a massage from them, we're having sex with condoms.
Do you want to though?
Yes. In fact,
they're cute?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I get the same guy every time.
Yeah.
Like I usually pick the guy the first. I mean, I haven't been in Puerto Vallarta in a couple
like
years.
It's like the Bunny Ranch.
But back when I would go there all the time, I now go to Playa del Carmen and there's no like hot gay men or non-gays. I don't know how to describe gay for pay guys doing massages there, but whatever. In PV,
they're all women.
Yeah. And they don't try to fuck around with me, but the men in Puerto Vallarta would always like, clearly want to and like get close, like, you know, and you're getting the massage and they're like almost gonna finger you and then you just have to like give them the inchworm.
Oh, you, so you like take you the just, hand and put it there?
No, you just like scoot your butt up a little bit.
What do you mean?
I call it the inchworm. So you just like tilt your ass up just a little when they get on that upper thigh and you're giving them permission to go
yeah.
further.
I mean,
and then they are like,
I hate
oh, she's
the kind of you are, but she said the inchworm. I was like, oh,
she knew.
Sounds kind of sexy.
The inchworm. Okay, I have a couple of moves. The nudge and the inchworm are very important moves.
I mean, you can always tell.
Subjects, okay?
I think the biggest thing is when they grab your hand and just put it on the crotch and you're like, all right.
I've never,
a massage, Jack?
I've never been into this type of massage before.
Well, see, I'm not a man, so no guy takes my hand. Like, I have to give him the inchworm permission and then, like, maybe I'll get finger banged.
That's the inchworm permission? Just,
literally, it's a, yes.
And then, would you if you saw that?
I will say, they always say, is this okay? Is this okay? Is
oh,
this okay?
Nice.
And I'm like, yep. Yes, it is. That's great.
So if you go to a massage and the girl goes like this and she just taps your wiener and like, oh, massagey.
That's her version of asking.
Yeah. And then you're like, sure.
I'm learning so much.
So have you ever had any kind of happy ending massage before?
No. I thought it. I didn't think that was real.
Okay.
Just like when I moved to Texas. Just like when I. I'm so.
Hold on.
I'm not innocent, I swear.
Let's hear it. Jack,
it's just like when I went. Just like when I went to Texas, and I didn't think that softball size hail was real, and it really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's good.
Not trying to change the subject, but
No, it's okay.
It's perfect.
Perfect change.
I should have had a non-alcoholic one.
I should have. I should have got you and offered you a water too. I'm an asshole. So you've been sober for 18 years.
Yeah.
When you quit, do you do AA or anything?
No, I didn't.
Never.
I think it's wonderful for other people. I've been. Mm-hmm.
It's more religious. Dude.
I went to AA every day as a kid with my dad.
It's very depressing, but I get it.
Dude.
When you're at that really low spot. Sorry,
no.
I'm a mom.
No, she's going to point
really
at Jack.
Spot,
when you're really low, Jack. I love
like
how you just
in it.
She just keeps touching my inner thigh. I don't know what's going on.
An intuition. She knows.
Should I inch forward?
You need help.
I think it's out of desperation. It's nice to always have a place to come and not feel like people are judging you. So I completely
100%.
Get it. Because I don't struggle, but you know, we do.
Of course.
Like, I don't think of drinking anymore, to be honest.
I mean, you've got so many years.
Yeah. I don't think of drinking, but I still get in those low spots where I don't know how to get out of it mentally, with whether it's anxiety or depression. Yeah. Or narcissistic asshole second husband. Second husband, not the first one. Eric, you're cool.
I have a question. So you're like, I'm sober, and that means everything. Like, you don't smoke pot, you don't do anything else.
I take ADHD medication, which is a controlled substance, right. But I consider that that's not.
So would you experiment with mushrooms or no?
I think that would open the door too much for me.
I love that answer. I think
even like the non-alcoholic beer still makes me feel a little like I'd never had one ever, and I had one once this week, and I just felt really guilty.
Yeah.
And it didn't, it obviously does nothing, but it just tastes like beer, and it just reminisces. And
yeah, I have those past experiences.
I can't let myself even like little, can't you just have one drink?
Yeah.
Why not?
I've had people literally go, come on. I'm like, you're not my friend if you're doing that.
Absolutely.
Like,
no, of course not. Yeah. If like any of my friends get sober,
but
I'm like, okay.
You're asking out of curiosity. It's totally
asking, I have questions out of curiosity because my father is sober, and he's been sober for summer of 30 years, right? And so he was never able to, like, for instance, he just saw me sing karaoke for the first time because he couldn't go into a bar. You mm-hmm. couldn't be in that type of environment without being feeling like nervous and maybe wanting to drink. Mm-hmm. And he started taking mushrooms a lot. Like, he considers it, like, he smokes weed and does mushrooms. He doesn't drink air or anything like that, or do anything chemical other than like the pills he's subscribed. And he, now that he can do the mushrooms, like, he's like, I can go to the bar because I know I'm not going to drink because I'm on mushrooms.
I think it's wonderful because to be honest, I'm not going to say who it is, but someone very, very close to me is sober, and it was something that had to happen. I've never seen them not sober. And they were very embarrassed to tell me that they smoked weed. And I said, you know what? You're not drinking. The drinking was the problem for you. And as far as I'm concerned, like,
if
you're okay.
If like, it's not going to be an opening door.
I was the biggest piece of shit alcoholic. I'm not the one to judge people.
Right.
So if microdosing makes you feel better and you feel better doing that instead of anxiety meds, then.
Right. Man, right, we all have our
take
thing.
The anxiety meds, man.
See, they fuck me up, and then I like get high.
Gabapentin, baby, let's go.
Yeah, it's like Valium. That makes me high. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel high. I want to feel relieved.
So it just makes you feel like a little.
You want to feel relaxed.
I genuinely feel like if, for instance, when I was in Mexico, I was having super duper anxiety. And I realized, oh, I haven't microdosed in a few days. And then I took my microdose after calling. I had a FaceTime with my girlfriend. She's like, take a microdose. You need to chill. And it was like the cloud lifted. But that was it. Like, it didn't, there was no other effect for me. Like, I didn't feel high. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like, ooh.
Wait, what day was this?
You were gone.
Oh.
And just, it just like makes my anxiety go away. And don't get me wrong. In the beginning, when I started microdosing the first few times, I definitely felt it. But now my tolerance has come up. And so like, I don't at all now. And it's nice. It just is like, ah.
So if you want to talk about it, what kind of anxiety, like, do you get? Is it social or like?
Definitely social. Like, I don't want to leave the house. I'm pacing the house. I'm considering, and typically am doing, I remove everything I've posted recently. I feel really self-conscious about the way that I act and say anything online. I like
overthinking.
I can't even like open my own. And I run a business on Instagram and TikTok. Like, I can't even open my social medias because I'm like, I don't want to face people's reactions to things I did yesterday or whatever. Like,
so you're an overthinker
completely. And it's just
she'll
like,
call me all the time and be like, dude, should we take this down? I'm like, no, dude, we had a great night last night.
I never just realized relax. I had anxiety until I left the narcissist and I had the panic attack. I thought a ghost was choking me in the middle of the night. Cause I wake up, and I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was having a heart attack. I couldn't fathom that I was doing that to
really
myself.
Yeah.
Because I believe in ghosts and stuff.
Well, I do too, but like, it kind of makes sense when people have these experiences. Sometimes it's like they think it's this one thing, but it's like actually just a stress response of your body.
I can't believe that you can stress yourself out so much that you can give yourself IBS, anxiety, and a panic attack. Like, it just blew my mind.
I had a friend who.
I would just shake.
Okay.
I shake a bunch.
See, when you have like a panic attack.
Dude, my legs will go crazy. My hands will start shaking.
Like restless.
Restless.
Almost like the shakes.
The shakes.
He gets like this.
Yeah, I've seen it before.
And that's like a panic attack for you?
Uh-huh.
That's like a panic attack for
you? No, the panic attack will come like if I'm just overthinking. And then like when I had my first panic attack, I was in Hawaii and I was like, what the hell is this? And I, you know, calmed myself down. And then when I got back from my 8th deployment, I was like, what's going on, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I was crying in my car.
And that's how it happens for me.
Yeah,
I cry.
Then I was shaking, dude. I mean, crying.
Eighth deployment.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So I keep.
So anyways, when I would have them, I was like,
it.
Okay.
Just snuggle up together. It's
yeah,
cute.
Dude. Shut
up, dude. But I'm just a lover.
It's, and that's wonderful.
And that is my fault.
We love this. Welcome. Not. I'm not. I'm like, fuck
I'm
this.
I'm so.
Over here in my cold.
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say, because some narcissists can be like, oh, she's an empath. I'm going to get her.
No. No. This isn't an invitation,
I just
anyone.
I love helping people. I love making people. That is, I love being that friend that's like there for people.
It's funny you say that, because like that's one of my issues. Is like I'll post something that I think is actually a valuable and helpful piece of information, and then I will overthink it so much about like people are going to think I'm preaching, or people are going to think I'm stupid, and I think I am like, and then I'll take it down, and then I'll finally face my DMs like 5 days later, like the pussy I am, and I'll open them up, and all the responses to my removed story are like, oh my God, I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing
and
that.
You know what's crazy? You come off as like this, I don't give a fuck on who I am. I am. And I love that you're being honest and you're saying, no, we all have like insecurities, right? And things. And me too. People are like, oh, you just wake up with abs. Are you kidding me? I work so hard. And like, I have insecurities. Everyone of has course. Insecurities. I'm an overthinker. I have complex PTSD. I do trauma therapy.
I'm working on it.
EMDR. I hate it. I avoid it all the time.
EMDR, that's not tapping.
So for me, I do it online because my therapist is in Texas, so I'm here. Okay. So it's a ball I watch, and then we talk about a traumatic experience.
Okay.
Which the recent
one. So it's an eye movement. Is it eye movement rapid something?
It's supposed to help you process it like you're sleeping.
We do breathing techniques, and then we go to like the visual place. Then we try to go back to the place that you had your experience. Mm-hmm. That's what I used to do with my therapist.
I don't want to go back to those places.
Yeah, neither do I. I was like, what
so
the fuck,
hard. And then you're kind of emotional for a day or two. Yeah. It feels like you're on your period. Like it's just
and
like,
then there's that whole like just being
I don't
a woman.
Even have a uterus where I have my ovaries. I still have the hormonal period.
I don't bleed, but I have an up and down.
Me too.
And every month
you still have a uterus though?
I have everything, yeah. I just have an IUD.
That's a big like when a girl's on her period. I was just talking about this today.
But
literally, I was having a discussion about
what were you going to say, Jack? Let's hear it.
I've been hanging out with this yoga instructor lately.
Oh,
right.
Ooh, tell us more.
The girl of the week.
The girl.
Nothing. Just kidding.
She might hear this.
I don't give a fuck. She can hear it. I doubt it. I'm not going to say her name.
He's blowing through him.
Anyways, we were talking about this, and I was like, and I asked her. We went to the beach today, and we were sitting out there, and I was like, hey, how are you like on your period? You know?
Wow.
Because I want to fucking know.
Wow. Yes,
wow, Jack. That's how you phrased it. How are you on your period?
How do you act?
How are you like on your period?
I was like, do you get like angry anytime? And she goes, am I period? I'm like, all right, here we go. All right. Like, what happened? She goes, I just get irrational. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I told her my stories. I was like, sometimes it's like walking on eggshells when they're on their period.
Right.
Because you don't know what you have to say or do. Like, I can be like, hey, here's a chocolate bar. And they'd be like, fuck you. It's the wrong chocolate bar. You know, throw it in your face. Or like, hey, do you want to have
no
some?
Right,
there's no right or wrong answer. Like, you're fucked
you
either way.
You just have to deal with it.
You just got to sit there for a week and be like, shit, here we go.
I always say, I'm like, you know what? Like, every guy sits there and says they want like a nice, sweet girl. Every guy wants a spicy girl. You like it when we're spicy, because if we weren't, it would be so boring.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
I have multiple things to say. So one, I just read a book where this guy was basically trying to make like a numerical quotient on happiness. And like he was saying, like, if your baseline is here, when this horrible thing happens, you're going to be here. But if your baseline is higher, when something horrible happens, it's not going to make you at like your happiness levels aren't going to be as quick to bounce back. Like, it was interesting. And I think, there's a helicopter.
Oh, fucking goddamn helicopter.
I think when it comes to like the way that we feel and emotionally on our periods or prior to them, PMS, it's like, or at least for me, every time it fucking happens, I literally am like, why do I feel this way?
It's like, hello, you know.
And then flash out at the first person that man comes into your life. Let's just lash out.
But I've been having this cycle for the last, like, I don't know, 28 years. And I'm still fucking confused every time. And then the second thing I was going to say is I watched 30 Rock years ago. And there's this character who's dating the Alec Baldwin guy, and she's like, I have to go for a week. I have to leave. I'm leaving. They were just starting their relationship. And he's like, why? And she's like, I only have my period once a year. I schedule it, and I'm going to go before I do anything I don't want to do. And she like leaves and runs off to some retreat where she's just going to like go bleed for a few days and act like a psycho. And I was like, Thank God, I could do that.
That would be awesome if you all could do that. Like, just go for a retreat.
Jack. Shut the fuck up. We're going to actually
have a boys' week.
I'm going to invite you on a vacation next time. I know it's coming.
Yeah.
My emotion, Jack.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to invite a group of women to go on vacation, and you're going to think it's going to be like your best week ever, but it's actually going to be a bunch of PMSing bitches.
Dude, I was deployed, right? And on my seventh deployment, I was deployed with six females, right? And at one point, they all synced up.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And it went insane. Oh, my God. I walked in, I'm looking at all of them. I'm like, yeah. I had a period kit with me. A very good period kit.
What's a period kit?
Chocolates. Mm-hmm. Chocolates.
Oh, show.
And like little hearts. Like, hey, dude, blah, blah, blah.
So stereotypical, but it's not wrong. Chocolate is the shit.
Yeah. And like, all right.
So since I'm an alcoholic, all I love is sweets. But anyways, back to your story.
Yeah. Chocolates, dude. But fuck then the girls sweets. Will like start fighting each other. Right. So ooh. Like you go in for shift change like, and be like, uh-oh, here we go. And I'm not going to lie. It was mostly, there were what? I think it was like one white girl, Puerto Ricans, African Americans, or Black Americans. Mm-hmm. And they would just go at it, bro. Like, bitch, we gonna go there. Like, oh, hell yeah, bitch, let's go, motherfucker.
All right, let's not get too.
I'm not. Okay. Just saying, but it was just hilarious. Like, I would go walk in the shop, like, with a bag of popcorn and be like, all right, boys, here we go.
It's that week. It's Shark Week.
That's what we would say. Yep, Shark Week, dude. Blood's everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And they would tell us too, like, yeah, we're bleeding, dude, so back the fuck up.
Yeah, well. To bring up your sweets thing, whenever I have done breaks from alcohol, I crave sugar so much.
I forget what it is, if it's serotonin or what it is, but something that alcoholics crave and people with ADHD that we lack, it's something. Oh. I think it's serotonin. Or someone can tell us.
Interesting. I thought it was just like the lack of sugar I was drinking.
What's serotonin?
It's something.
It's the happiness. It's like the happiness trigger.
Like the dopamine?
Or it's dopamine.
Dopamine and serotonin.
Dopamine or serotonin? Okay. I don't
They're
remember.
Both, no, they both are for happiness. I think dopamine actually makes you more tired, and serotonin is like more of an awake version. I don't quote
so
me on
this.
It's
very common for people that were addicted to drugs or alcohol that they're like obsessed with sweets.
Like they replace their addiction kind of.
It gives you serotonin.
Oh, really? I hate sweets. I dislike sweets.
So I came obsessed with working out, obviously, when I stopped drinking at 22, and then I did the Red Bull thing because that was super popular.
Oh,
so my poor baby did get Red Bull, but no alcohol.
You just found another addiction, basically.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Like, I mean, no, seriously, alcohol is fine. Like, usually another addiction
caffeine,
to get addicted.
Yeah,
yep.
And then I realized the caffeine wasn't. It makes your anxiety horrible. I didn't know I had anxiety, so
anxiety. Yeah, I have to be very careful with caffeine.
Yeah, I used to drink like 3 Bangs a day, dude.
You have one or two in my fridge right now.
Oh, the Bang Rings?
First of all, you have like a bubble gum flavored, like I clean this, our beautiful studio, which is my garage.
It is amazing.
I was cleaning it up the other day, and he always leaves like full shit over here. So I put it in the fridge because I'm like, oh, this is unopened. And I was like, is this a toddler's drink? And then I was like, oh no, it's like 90 milligrams of caffeine. It's or more, probably more, but it's like a bubblicious strawberry flavored drink.
Oh my God.
I bought it. I was like, do not drink this because you know what's going to happen.
It has like 900 grams of sugar in that thing.
I would drink 300.
Oh,
I would drink
about
three
sugar.
Of those a
caffeine.
Day. On deployment, I would drink three of those with like 4 cups of coffee.
If I drank one of those, I would be like, let's paint the kitchen. We should paint the kitchen. I'm gonna clean the whole house and paint the kitchen and step on the dog. Have you ever been in a metal band?
No.
But I'm known for my deep voice. I'm one of those people that sings the fuck out of songs in cars, and I really don't think I'm great, but like it's therapeutic for me.
What about karaoke?
I love singing. I don't know if I'm even good, but I'm just like
karaoke.
Is there karaoke tonight?
All the time.
I don't know. I say every time. This is the second time we've met. But when I met you, I was like, I really want to be friends with you and just hang out with you.
Me too.
I was like, I love her.
Same thing.
So if you ever want to go to karaoke.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Okay, fuck yes.
I'm all about that.
What's your favorite karaoke song?
It's tough because I feel like so annoying that I've done the same song so many times. My favorite song in the world to do is probably Oh Darling by the Beatles or I Got You by James Brown.
Oh yeah, you do really go on James Brown.
I can kill those.
So I'm more of like, I just want to be a crowd pleaser. I'm like, yeah, put some Billy Idol on or something.
Billy Idol's fun. I mean, like, James
I just want to do what the crowd wants.
I make her, I usually make her sing
Madonna.
What
if it was me? It would literally be like fucking Alanis Morissette or something.
Alanis Morissette,
evil actually, and mad.
But Alanis actually slaps at karaoke. People get excited.
I want
you to know. Yeah, I could do that.
or even like Britney. You know,
ooh, I bet you could do a good. Hearing your I know you could do Britney.
I'm not very good high. I try, but I'm
Britney
really good with
sing
the low.
At all.
I'm well, good I with like the when, low or scratchy stuff.
When you do Madonna,
scratchy. Yes, I know you. Like
I love when you do. What was it? What's it called?
Like a prayer.
Like a prayer.
Yes, yep. Thank you. Thank you. No, I just think it would be fun. Karaoke is my hobby.
All right, we're karaoke buddies now.
Yes. Okay. My parents,
we're gonna get some video.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. We'll go to karaoke one night.
I think it's fun.
I'll drive, guys.
Yes, we have a DD. Oh my gosh, perfect.
That's why everyone.
And you probably have a minivan, right?
No, I have a Volvo that says 8-seater. Hell yeah!
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
I love it.
I don't know if it's clean, but you can get in it.
So now that the COVID and all this bullshit's over, are you back to training in person?
Oh yeah! As soon as I drop a narcissist and 99 problems and they're gone, you know, no more anxiety or anything. I had to get my ass out there and start hustling because, you know, I wasn't making a bunch of money back then. Like I was doing a little Instagram. I was really depressed. So I couldn't end up part of my job in order to get clients. You have to socialize. You have to meet people.
It's a lot.
So I was just struggling. I was blaming myself for being depressed and not getting out there. Like, what's wrong with me? I'm the most social person ever. I couldn't make friends. I couldn't get clients. And I realized that was happening. So as soon as I got rid of him, I got out there. I made more friends. I felt lively and happy again. And I got a bunch of clients. And so now my business is booming.
Good.
Do you get a lot of celebrities?
I was going to ask that.
No.
You have at least, I know, one semi-celebrity. I don't know if she's a celebrity. Is Michelle Wilson a celebrity?
Definitely, yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we can talk about it.
No.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just kidding.
The beautiful Miss
Annie. I saw her the other night at the bar. We had a good time. We had a good talk.
She's awesome.
So you do work with celebrities?
I will, but I'm not right now.
Okay.
Even if I was, I couldn't tell you.
So what does your clientele look like? Yeah.
To be honest, my age or older.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of affluent people in North County.
I was gonna say, do you get like rich housewives?
I'm very picky with training men because obviously I need to make sure that they are on the right headspace.
Right.
We're training. We're not dating.
That's why you don't.
I mostly train women, but I do train men too. I'm just very selective with the men, but I travel around. I come to their homes. I privately train them in their home, whether it's my equipment or their equipment.
Okay.
And, I'm very selective, with all of my clients.
Tell me you're very expensive as well.
Yes.
You hear that? Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Because I've worked my ass off.
I love that. No, you should be.
I think that I'm worth it. And I'm very knowledgeable. And I honestly make it fucking fun.
I have no doubt.
I can. Like, you're already bubbly as hell right now. And you haven't drank zero alcohol.
One of my clients is a guy and he's in Rancho Santa Fe. And I am at his house 6 a.m. 3 days a week. I wake up at 5 a.m. to be there. I'm like, all right, let's go. And he's like, oh my gosh, Ashley, seriously, every day are you going to be like this?
Have
I'm
you
like,
ever pulled him out of bed?
No, but I walk in his house and wait for him to come in, like his door's open.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think having a trainer can be such a huge help. I have one for a long time and just, it's not even, it's like, yeah, I learned this stuff, but I need someone to fucking motivate me. Like I'm not that person.
But I'm also a therapist because people don't understand how much working out actually affects your mental state. You will want to have sex more. You will want to get out and socialize more. You will feel healthier. You'll have more energy.
It also helps the way that your brain, like your cognitive abilities become, you know, your brain is going to work better and function more properly if you are exercising right. And I noticed because I kind of stopped working out completely in the last year. Like I was always I was active before and work like walking 5 miles and stuff, but I like even stopped doing that and just was living my life. And I mean, I masturbate on camera a few times a day.
I guess that's working out.
Well, it's kind of like Pilates.
That's you're super fit.
Like
so.
I look at it like a Pilates thing. Like the body looks like I work out, but it doesn't mean I do. And I feel like my mind is changing. And I'm like, it's because you're not working out anymore.
Clear. Yeah.
And it's very clear to me. Like, I'm seeing that my depressive moods and my anxiety increase easier and quicker. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes it's harder for me to recollect things. And I'm like, bitch, you need to work out.
I think that's one of the things they say, though, when you're depressed, you're like, you need to get some kind of walking or exercise. Like, it's important.
I mean, absolutely. I walk a lot now and I play kickball, but like when I was on the deployments, that's all I did was work out.
I mean, to be honest, I always tell people weight training is always number one because it's going to keep you lean. It will burn calories for you. Your metabolic rate will go up. I don't want to get into it too much, but it also helps fight, you know, bone loss and all of that.
Everything.
Can I ask you something? How much do you bench?
I don't do chest.
You don't do chest? How much do you squat, though?
I mean, it depends. I'm not the type to do it for my ego. Like, oh, I could do three. I can go on leg press and push like 380, probably.
380?
Probably.
What about deadlift?
That's like a bunch of me.
I don't, like I said, I don't push myself to the point where I'm doing PR, but I do like 170, 175 for a sumo deadlift.
Okay. But yeah. My PR was...
And I'm 110 pounds, so that's pretty good.
Shit, my PR was 415, and then my PR for bench was, at the time, 235.
I'm very strong on my legs. My
legs were weak as fuck, though.
You will break your hand on my butt.
Yeah.
You know what? I always say I don't have a lot, but I can brag about my muscles because they're real.
Yeah.
And I earn them.
Yeah, you did.
They're lovely.
So, I think it's very important to work out. But what I was trying to say is you got to do what you love.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't love weight training, do it a little bit because it's healthy for you. But if you freaking love fucking pickleball, get out there and fucking do it.
Right.
You
do
like
a lot
hiking.
Of what you love.
Yes.
We masturbate constantly.
Yes.
Kickball.
I learned to love cardio. I hated cardio. Now I love it, but my cardio is different than other people's cardio. It's like going out and walking briskly, like around like the boardwalk.
Oh,
by
yeah.
The
I
beach.
Do like a 5 mile here in
town. Or like the elliptical. Like I'm not killing myself on cardio.
I used to do the rock and box. I like those. I like the boxing and kickboxing ones.
I've been wanting to get into that.
So I did it, but it's called rock and box. So it's CrossFit with boxing.
Okay.
Right. And I used to box a lot when I was on the boat. And then as soon as I got into it, though, I injured my wrist again and my shoulders were just all messed up. And I was like, hey, I can't do it anymore.
I've never played a sport. I did cheerleading and dancing.
Never.
Competition baton from 5 to 12 years old. Adorable pictures.
Nerd. Wait, is that color guard or is that different?
That's a nerd right there.
Literally, it was legit. We would go to colleges and perform in leotards and like it was crazy. Like,
can you do like no handed cartwheels and shit?
No. Anyways, I've never played a sport. So I've been really curious.
I guess baton's a sport.
40 and my kids are like kind of on their own little thing. I'm like, I should like try to do like, I don't know, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai or boxing, something.
Dude, it's
definitely
fun.
Do that.
It's really fun.
I feel that way too, but then I live here for like 3 weeks and then I leave for a month and then I come back for a month and then I leave for a month and I keep splitting my time. And I used to do 6 months and six, but I didn't, that was like too much. And I like this one and one, but it makes it hard to join things. Like it's hard to join a team or join a gym even. Cause I'm like,
you're talking to a creature of habit. When I travel, I bring my food with me. Like,
oh God.
Oh,
no.
Really?
I just don't eat.
No, I mean, I'm also vegan. So,
obviously
we have plenty of vegan options here, but we don't always have it there. So I bring it. And talk about dating, man. I thought people would be thrown off by the sober thing, that they wouldn't want to date me because like it makes them feel
bad.
But
you're a sober vegan, twice divorced with 3 kids.
But the one that scares them is the vegan. Yeah. I've literally had someone not want to date me because I'm like, you don't want to date me because of what I eat?
Well, no, it is a red flag sometimes for us. And okay. I will say like this. Because we have to take you to a restaurant, right? And now we have to pick the certain restaurant that you have to go to.
But guess what? It gets even worse. I only eat out 2 to 3 times a month. So I don't even eat out. I literally make all of my food.
But if I'm going to take you on a date, I'm going to take you out to a nice restaurant, right?
But I'll tell you what. If you go to a nice restaurant here, dear, there's a lot of good vegan.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, but if like in other places.
Yeah, but you don't need to worry about that.
You know what, like, though? I don't know about other vegans, but the type of person I am is I never want to be a problem. I don't want you to pick the restaurant for me. So I would literally eat before and just come. Or I'd look at the menu ahead of time and be like, oh, I can get this salad.
Yes.
So, even though I don't want it, I would never make people pick stuff for me.
And you're not like, you should be a vegan.
And that's where my anxiety comes in. I'm like,
you should also.
I don't want to make it a problem. I'm fine. You know, no, I'm not a vegan like that. And honestly, I wish other vegans wouldn't be like that.
I think that that's where people's they get scared.
Oh God,
good for you if you want to protest. Like, I think it's wonderful. Cool. For me, I'm never want to try to push my opinions on other people. If people ask me and they're curious, I will start telling them about vegan or whatever I do. I'm sober, but I'm anti like,
I'm like, you should all eat mushrooms, everybody.
But
just kidding.
I do it for the health reasons. Like I believe that it's healthier and I can get into that, but I don't unless someone asks me.
Yeah. I crave meat,
but I'm always preaching to people that just make the focus eating maybe a little more fruits and vegetables and a little less saturated fat, but that really means eating less.
I only meat eat steak and animal now.
Products. Right.
But you know what? What if you could just do it a little more and then you're helping with me? Like, why does it have to be 1,000%? You don't have to be 100% vegan.
No.
Right.
Right.
The vegetables are good, though.
That's the way I see it. Like, if we could just get more people eating maybe a little less meat, it would be healthier for people and healthier for the planet. And
yeah, I would say healthier for the environment for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, especially like about
and the animals. I'm not going to say I do care about
that. Honestly, I eat mostly seafood.
Yeah. Both my grandfathers died from heart attacks. My mom was like, listen, dude, you're fucked.
So, oh, well.
Yeah. But no, I really am. Like, genetically.
Watch your cholesterol.
Yeah. So she was just like, hey, you need to really cut down on your meat. So I only eat, I love steak. So I only get a steak once a month now.
Oh, good for you.
Love and that. A burger sometimes if I want it.
Yeah, I think it's like with the sobriety and the vegan people like start feeling bad about their like issues and things. And I'm like, I'm not doing that to you. Like
as long as you don't push your opinion on people.
No, but that's actually a very good point is that sometimes when you meet people who you deem to be better doing better than you, it's almost like hard to date them because you compare yourself, then you feel bad about yourself and you feel like, oh, I'm not there yet and I'm not taking care of myself in the way that they are. I don't deserve them.
Like, oh, she's super fit. She never eats out. Oh, she's vegan. She thinks she's better.
She's
no,
better.
I'm doing it for myself.
But don't think, I hope you don't think that they think, oh, she thinks I'm better. So many thinks there. But it's that they probably just feel insecure in their own selves.
Absolutely.
Because
and then
they're comparing
me as an
themselves
empath,
to where
I feel
they
bad that they might be feeling that because of me. Like, that's anxiety. Oh, I
but
don't want to
all
be
of that
a
comes
problem.
Down to the same thing is that we all tell ourselves stories and that they're telling themselves a story of whether how that all goes. And that's just the unfortunate part of it.
I wouldn't give a shit. Eat what you want.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I would swipe on a dude if it was like vegan van life. I'd be like, nope.
Oof.
I definitely put out there that I have three kids because I'm like,
kids you have to mention. The vegan I would
but
just save for
thing,
a later
I'm
date.
Like, no, I don't care because to be honest, getting into the snow.
Oh, she's getting into it. I'm like, I gotta pee. Let's wrap this up.
The vegan thing is just, it's so stupid and silly to me because if they get to know me, they'll know that like, it's just what I eat and like get over it. And I cook and I just want you to be curious and I want you to just try the food because I cook a lot.
Yeah. And
you can still cook your stuff, but like, I'm just saying I eat a lot. Can you at least be curious and want to try it? Like,
I agree.
I would be curious
because I'm passionate about
cooking. As long as there's no olives.
I love olives.
I fucking hate olives. Anyways, Ashley.
Yes.
Thank you for being on the show.
Oh my gosh.
We could go for 5 hours.
We could. I'm going to pee, so we at least have to stop right now. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us your Instagram and stuff, though, so people can follow you?
My Instagram is Ashley King Fitness. And if you send me a DM, I will DM you back. So
yeah, you got to answer your fans.
Yes, you have to.
Thank you for being on the show.
Absolutely.
You are an awesome person.
Yes.
I love your bubbly personality.
Thank you.
Try to eat vegan sometimes and work out.
Whatever.
Make sure you work out.
Do what you love and be proud of it and don't listen to anybody else.
My shirt says, what does it say? It says, like, do what you love, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, it's soft.
I just got it.
Girl, you need to do some squats.
Shut up. She got no nice booty. I don't.
Thank you for listening. And if you liked what you heard, make sure to like and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
We're the Sailing the Sex Worker podcast. And remember, stay safe.
And wrap it up.